It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Back at it again, as Cody would say, but I am here with Cindy Lara. And did I screw that up again?
No,
I'm here with Cindy. How about that?
But you did great. Sounded great.
And we finally have a game. We finally have something that we've seen them play. So we can now talk about KCNWSL and what they look like. What was your first impression in the?
Well, we obviously didn't see the whole entire team that we probably would see more in the regular season. We had so many players out. I don't know. We were expecting international players to be out, like all the Canadians, like Desiree Scott, Jordan Listro, and then Mariana Larroquette. But then I see the injury report, and it's a little bit bigger than we anticipated. So that changed a lot. So obviously we did not see a full strength Kansas City team that we will see for the regular season. So considering that, I don't want to say the B team, but we definitely saw, you know, players that would probably be more on the sub level, like they will be subbing rather than starting. So obviously the game, I thought they did pretty good offensively initially, and then once Portland got that first goal, things kind of slowed down. But I don't think it was as bad as I was expecting, just because it's Portland. Portland is always very competitive. They always field a very strong team. I thought they worked really hard this first game, considering all the players they had out and injuries, and could have easily been a 2-2 draw. Yeah, there was a lot of hard work out there, and that has to be commended. What did you think?
I think that hard work is a lot of what we're going to see from Kansas City this year. Hugh promised a team that other teams would not want to play against, and I'm pretty sure that they've already set that bar. They're working hard. They're going to press. They're going to push. They're going to be aggressive, and they were. They did that. Mm-hmm. Now, can they do it better when there's a few players that are back in the lineup or available? Hopefully.
For sure.
Who maybe stood out as, you know, surprising you a little bit? Anybody?
I think everyone talked about Victoria Pickett.
Yeah, that was like a setup for you right there. So
yeah, that was like a setup. She did good. She, you know, first game, I think she talked about being nervous, and Amy Rodriguez was like, "What? You were nervous?" In the media after, and that's what you want to see. That's what you want to see out of like your rookies and your draftees. And she definitely was also really instrumental in helping Amy Rodriguez get that goal. So high marks for Victoria Pickett. Same for you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It she was clearly the one that everybody went, oh, she can play. She's, I actually texted Hugh after the game. I said, well, she's the real deal. Mm-hmm. You know, they've talked highly about her and others. So don't get me wrong, not just about her, but they've talked highly about her. And I think that she absolutely proved that she can play in this league. Mm-hmm. Absolutely can prove, has proved that she's going to be competing for starting time with some of the better players, with some of the veterans. And in that post game press conference, you know, when A-Rod was talking about, you didn't look nervous. And, you know, then she talked about how she's bragging on her and stuff. I think one of the, just, it was like one of those little heartwarming moments that I was, you know, Victoria kind of said real quietly, you're so sweet. It was just very, like, very cute, very sweet. And, you know, just, you could see that bond growing there from the players.
For sure. And so there's Pickett, Maddie Nolf, I thought did pretty good. There were moments where I think towards the end of the game, she seemed tired and like needed a sub, but I'm trying to remember the subs that came in, but
there wasn't many. I think half the bench was hurt. So
that's true. So the players who were out injury wise were Elizabeth Ball.
The subs were Strom, Akimoto, Miramontes, and Leach. They came in for Ratcliffe, Nolf, and Mamone.
Okay.
According to this.
According to that. And then Lolabanta and Katie Bowen were questionable. They were on the bench, but
I'm guessing the only way they were coming in was if they were three injuries in warm-ups kind of scenario. Sure. That's my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So besides Pickett, who else impressed for you?
I don't know that, I don't want to say anybody truly impressed. Mm. I think there were players that showed that they will be contributors to this team. Mm-hmm. Let me borderline say that I was impressed with Edmonds. I thought she got forward really well. And I know she played outside back in Orlando, but she's also played forward down there, correct?
I believe so.
Because I know she's listed as, you know, different spots, or Hugh said she'd play different spots. It seemed to me like she would do some really good things, and then she would do something that I thought was not the smartest play, like trying to beat somebody while she was just outside of her own box. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a play you need to make the pass and get it out of there and moved. Or if you're going to make that move to beat somebody, you have to absolutely do it. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple times where she did something like that where I thought was, she probably could have been a little smarter about it. But I thought otherwise she played pretty darn well. And she also probably earned a lot of love from Kansas City fans late in the game.
She did.
Rightly or wrongly, but she did.
She did. Yeah, you're right. She did. She's very versatile. So she started as a defender with the Western New York Flash. And then once she moved on to Orlando Pride, I think she switched to midfield, where she had 6 goals with that club. So she can definitely move up and help that attack. And I think that's what Hugh talked about, is he expects his outside backs to be a part of the attack. And so, yeah, she did really good from that aspect.
Yeah. And my criticism was not heavy there. It's just, I wanted to make sure she's a little smarter about that. And maybe that's just the first game getting back into the rhythm thing. Because in reality, this is preseason games, kind of. I mean, I know there's a cup, there's a title, but at the same time, it's kind of preseason.
Yeah, it's a glorified preseason, which I think it's a good idea, because if you think about it, they haven't played soccer since October. That's right. A long time not to be playing soccer.
No, I'm good with it being the preseason tournament. I kind of like the idea. I mean, I would actually wouldn't mind if MLS did a similar thing and just maybe counted, you know, a couple of the games as regular season games or something like that. But no, I like it. So don't get me wrong when I'm kind of joking about it, but
yeah,
it is what it is. Man, yeah, did I just say that?
It is what it is. It's a glorified preseason. Somebody's going to go into the season with some bragging rights. And so, yeah, Portland looks good.
Yeah. And so credit to Kansas City. They went to Portland. Mm-hmm. They went a goal down. A-Rod almost equalized a minute later. They went two goals down. A-Rod equalized a couple minutes later, or not equalized, but got one back a couple minutes later. They pushed for goals late. I think they actually outshot Portland. Maybe they weren't better shots, but they were shots. Possession was in Portland's favor, but it was like 51-49 or a little percentage over that. So going on the road with a team of, you know, Portland's missing players too. So there's no, not trying to say, oh, we were missing players. And, but to go on the road at Portland for the first game for a team that's new-ish, expansion-ish. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have played together, but a lot that haven't. Rookie starting in the, you know, midfield, key roles. Mm-hmm. I think they did all right. I think they have reasons to be, as Hugh said, that's a baseline mm-hmm. they have, and they can do better.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think you can look at this Kansas City and be downcast about how awful 2021 is going to be. And there will obviously be a lot of work to do throughout the season, especially as they get players, and then there's the Olympics coming up that's going to interrupt things. So I think it'll be good. I think it'll be yeah, I'm glad A-Rod is staying, but this team is gritty and hardworking and determined, and that's a good base for this team.
Since I did not watch the team very closely the last couple of years, mm-hmm. how does that compare to what they were in Utah? A lot of similar players, a lot of same players. Were they that gritty? Were they that fight hard for each other in Utah? Or was it a little more like, yeah, just rolled it out there?
Yeah, and I think they were definitely, which is funny because even just looking at the starting lineup, you're like, this is Utah team. A lot of these players were predominantly players that played in Utah. But I think that was one of the criticisms in Utah is that they just seem flat. They didn't pressure enough, and I feel like they inherited the we can't finish. I feel like that's still following this team. Some of these players that were in Utah, but for the most part, they just seemed sometimes just incredibly flat, and they couldn't get anything going from the midfield. And so there is definitely a difference, and they definitely do look better than their past Utah form. Obviously, when you have Kristen Press as one of your attackers, you will look a little bit better, but when she was gone, it was a completely different team. So, yeah.
And I look at this team out that Hugh put out there, you know, again, he had to put this team out there. There's only one player out there that I look at is going to score goals, and that's A-Rod. And mm-hmm. honestly, you can't expect her to score a goal every game at this point in her life. Ratcliffe is going to be good for a few goals here and there kind of thing. Vasconcelos, I don't see her as a goal scorer. I see mm-hmm. her as somebody who's going to run fast and hard and work her butt off. Nobody in the midfield looks like they're going to be goal scorers from the lineup they put out there. Mm-hmm. But when we have the next group back with, if everybody's healthy, and, you know, Dez is still not going to be a goal scorer. Hopefully, Lero can be, you know, not knock some in. She's, I guess, Argentina's leading goal scorer now. But she's also not a huge goal scorer, it seems like. So I think that's probably one of their weaknesses right now, is they just need some serious offense.
Yeah, and I think that's what I do tend to worry a little bit about is, I know that Hugh talked about A-Rod being the goal scorer, she has a responsibility to lead the attack and score goals, but that's a lot of responsibility on one player. And if you look at other teams in the NWSL, I mean, you look at a team like North Carolina Courage, and they have Lynn Williams and Dabinia, and they just have players that can score goals, and you can't, that's just it. Kansas City cannot be a team that relies on one specific player. And so, but again, like you mentioned, Radcliffe can score goals, but I don't, she's not like a prolific goal scorer.
She'll give you a few over the year.
For sure. So that's what I'm always, I almost want them to go big and sign a player that's going to help A-Rod. I don't know who that is, but I'm waiting for that. Who are they going to sign? Who are they going to go after?
I do think that Legarzo from Australia, she's supposed to be more of an offensive mid, but we haven't seen her yet. She's still not showed up yet.
Yeah, which I've been meaning to follow up because I know they said that they were hoping for April, but we're mid-April and she's still here.
At one point, Hugh had said that he was hoping after the FIFA window, and I'm like, what the hell does FIFA window have to do? You've already signed her. And what he meant was the FIFA game window. So that's just wrapping up now. US, Canada, Australia all played today. Legarzo was not in the lineup for either of the two games that they played. They got destroyed 5-2 and 5-0, Germany and Netherlands.
Wow.
Australia's not looking good. So I just don't know if maybe she's injured or she wasn't able to join the team. She was on the call-up list. But I hope that that means that she will be arriving in Kansas City soon and they will be able to find a way to make use of her.
For sure, because she's coming in late.
And even like Listro from Canada, I mean, they traded and got her, but she never showed up because she went right to Canada national team and then didn't play either game either.
Yeah, which I'm still very, I don't know, puzzled by that signing. I know that they spoke highly of her when they saw her, when they played against her in the scrimmage down in Orlando. But I don't know. I can't say, oh, this is a player that wows me and is going to be so amazing. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but before this game, we have not seen this team played at all, right?
No, they had, you know, they've showed us B-roll stuff. They've showed us highlights. They played a game down at Swope that a few people snuck in and watched through the fence that I would have if I didn't have another commitment that night. I was so irritated. But even in that regard, that was against a college team. So, you know, down in Orlando, they scrimmaged Orlando, which again, it's not exactly the best competition to judge yourself against. So we haven't really seen them until this game. That's why I was glued to the screen here watching it, trying to pick out everything that I could pick out, and everything I could pick out was Pickett.
Pickett and A-Rod and Edmonds. I think those are probably the three players with some high marks.
And then nobody else. Defense gave up the two goals off of crosses, off of headers, which is exactly what Hugh said they've been working on for, you know, since they came together almost. So defense is a little, I don't say worrisome, but it's not something I'm going, oh yes, it's a perfect strength at this point.
Which is ironic I don't know, but there was high praises for the defense. That was the strongest point. That wasn't like the defense was good. And then you play a team like Portland. Then again, you're missing Elizabeth Ball. You're missing players who can help defensively from the midfield, like Desiree Scott. So of course that's going to mess up your defense a little bit when you go against a team like Portland.
I mean, again, in fairness, Portland was missing players. They had to move Klingenberg into the midfield. You know, she looked like she could still play. That's for dang sure. It's just that they worked on something and that they specifically ended up then giving up goals on that, I think, is the problem there. But Portland is very good at it. That's what they do. That's how they score. So, and on the road at Portland, on turf, first game, all that stuff. I'll give the team at least a B on performance. What do you think?
Yeah, I say B minus.
Oh, so you're going to be the negative one. No, I'm like,
no, just kidding. Yeah, I was impressed, but you know, easy defensive mistakes like are going to cost them, and you can't give Portland too many opportunities to take advantage, because they will.
If Elizabeth Ball was healthy, would she have started over Delfava? And would she have been better?
See, I was thinking that Maimone. I think she would be on the bench, and then Ball would be. So the back four, I was thinking it would be Ball, Delfava, Corsi. Who am I missing?
Bowen.
Okay, there is Bowen. So I thought Delfava can play also midfield. So
yeah, she's a natural midfielder that they've moved back, if I understand correctly. Mm-hmm. She's listed as a defender on the roster.
Okay.
So I think she's intended to be a defender. I just don't know if it's a center back or an outside back.
Mm.
Hughes got like 27 outside backs, apparently.
Yeah. Edmonds, that's the other one. So I think Edmonds, back four, I predict Edmonds, Corsi, Ball, and then Bowen. And then I think they move Delfava to mid. But I could be wrong.
Well, I think that mid is going to be hard to judge too, because you're going to have Dez. Larroquette plays there sometimes, plays wing sometimes. Pickett made her case for starting. Let's see who else. Like I think they moved Nolf up to midfield this time, so probably not her.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're trying to judge a lot of stuff off of one actual game. Oh, right. Low. I mean, we can't forget Low. So
that's true.
I could see that midfield actually being Low, Dez, and Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
And then wing being Laro, and I'm not sure who on the other side.
Yeah, I don't know. But I thought Laro was more a forward.
I think she is usually, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm saying wing of the outside wing.
Okay. Of the front line.
Up top.
Okay.
Yep.
Up the top. Okay. Yeah. And you're right. We can't base something off one game, because there is another game coming up. And I believe that's Tuesday. What's up with these weekday games? Tuesday at 7:30 at Chicago. So
yeah.
And Chicago was not that impressive either. So I think this, if they have some of the players back, I'm not sure about the international players, like the Canadians, I think that's, and Laro.
I think they should all be coming back within the next day or two.
Okay.
Because like I said, Canada's played. I know I listened to the U.S. press conference, and they were like literally getting on the plane right after the game to come back to the States. The question will be, how long do they need to quarantine, or do they need to quarantine if they've been in a bubble and tested? I'm not sure the rules, but it seems like every time somebody states the rules, they change. So,
yeah, I thought they, at least for preseason, the quarantine period was they get here, they test, they quarantine for a week, they test again. That was the preseason quarantine. So I don't know if it'll apply for this time, but it'll definitely be a different game against the Red Stars. And this could be a better opportunity for Kansas City to get perhaps a win. They can beat Chicago if they play a little bit better than they did against Portland.
I think even if they play as good as they did against Portland, they might get at least pull out a draw there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they got to get a goal.
Mm-hmm.
They got to be smart on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be nice for them to have a couple of the injuries back.
That's true.
So if they could get Low into the midfield, her tenacity will help some of that, regardless whether or not Dez and Listro is back.
That's true. That's true.
And then they got to make up for Edmonds being out for two games.
So Edmonds will miss the Tuesday game and then the home opener.
Correct.
That Monday against the Dash. Yeah. What did you think about that red card? Obviously, we can agree that the red card was deserved.
Absolutely. I'm actually not surprised they gave her a second one. I'm mildly disappointed they rescinded the one for Weaver. I try very hard not to look at these things with shaded glasses, you know, I guess teal shaded glasses in this case. But it did look like there was a lot of fighting down there. It did look like as Edmonds was running back up the field, Weaver ran into her, and then that created the next push. I think they were both at fault. I think that's why I'm not surprised that they gave her a second one for the push to the face. But honestly, I was not. When they collided, looking at it in slow motion, it looked like one of Weaver's hands went up into Edmonds' face also. So I don't know. Merritt Paulson has a lot of pull. Can't say that he influenced that decision, but yeah, I'll just be there. I'll just leave it at that.
I mean, I'm looking at the replay video and there is Weaver trying to, you know, get the ball in the corner, try to keep it away. They're struggling for it. There's grabbing. And to me, it looks like Weaver like takes Edmonds down.
Yeah.
And then they get up and then Weaver just pushes her. And of course it's going to set you off. Right. So I don't think Weaver is, as Portland claims, innocent. And I don't agree that red card was rescinded. I think Weaver played just a part. Obviously, we're not justifying Edmonds. I think.
No, she reacted poorly. Mm-hmm. I can't say that I would not have done something. I could probably honestly say I've never really just pushed somebody in the face without having complete intent to do exactly that. So I have knocked some people over in my time.
Yeah, I mean, you're out there, it's competitive. Your blood's pumping. It's going to happen. It's a part of the game, not the smartest part of a game, but
right. But again, I don't think Edmonds went out to hurt her or, you know, I mean, I don't think there was any like intent to break her nose or anything. I think it was just reaction. She shoved her back in the face more than a punch. But it's still deserved. It's cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all in agreement. She deserved a red. Mm-hmm. I'm not even surprised she got a second added game to that, but just a little disappointed that Weaver gets off scot-free.
Yeah. But like you said, it must be nice to be Merritt Paulson and get a little pull there. This is Portland. And if you're new to the NWSL, Portland does tend to bring out the worst in people. I mean, last year, Amy Rodriguez, was it last year? I'm sorry, 2 years ago. This was 2019. There was a whole scuffle between Emily Sonnet and Amy Rodriguez. And Amy Rodriguez was like...
Livid.
And that's actually one of the great Utah moments. And even just Sonnet's reaction, like, so
how dare you? Was that the face you were making?
Dare you? Yeah, how dare you? Anyway, Portland is they're either the most loved team in Portland, and they are, and the rest of the league just they don't have a lot of fans in the rest of the league.
And but credit to them, they got a great amount of supporters. They put out a good team.
Oh, for sure.
They all of that, but. Yeah, it's the way it is. It's kind of funny that moment you were talking about, like just the YouTube recommended video popped up of fighting in women's soccer or something like that. And I'm like, oh, you know, I clicked on it. And it was that clip was one of them, exactly that.
Yeah, that's so great. It's such a great moment. Just because, you know, A-Rod is like a mom and she's like, you talk to her, she's like the nicest person.
Yep.
But on that field, I would not mess with her.
No, she's setting a good example for her kids.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to get off to go to another pod in just a second.
Wow.
I know. It's like the fourth thing I'm recording in the last day. So
popular.
I'm not sure I would say that, but any last words, any last thoughts, inspirations?
You know, tune in to watch the Chicago game. That's a little bit earlier game. I did not mind that the game was at 9:30 on a Friday night, but it was still a little bit late for me to stay up. So I'm excited for an earlier game.
Yeah, you fell asleep during the presser, didn't you?
I did. I was listening. My notes are just like, they're done. But yeah, it'll be exciting to watch them play against Chicago and hopefully get a little bit more of those players that we're missing.
Should we try to record a pre-Chicago pod real quick?
Yeah.
We'll have I might actually get to see a little bit of practice this week.
Okay.
And then there'll be a presser later this week. So
sweet. Yeah.
Maybe we can do a quick one over the weekend.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks for joining me. It was wonderful and pleasure to talk to you as always. I guess that will be it. Thanks everybody for listening.
Master Sergeant John DeSalm on the tenor sax. John DeSalm. Staff Sergeant Reagan Bruff on the composition.